The state is denying the equality of all before the law. When the state does not place its power at the service of each citizen, and in particular of the most helpless, then the foundations of a state based on law are undermined. What is the Catechism saying? It is saying that any nation, like our own, that legalizes abortion is signing his own death warrant as a civilized society. His days are numbered. The days of America are numbered. It will not last very long. I'm no Jeremiah, no Isaiah, but I know that God is not mocked. This is what Mother Teresa told our president and his wife last month. By legalizing abortion, America is legalizing anarchy. How can you forbid any other crime if you give murderers of unborn children the protection of the law? I spent hours with Mother Teresa before she left India to come to Washington. And she told me, it seems everybody in the United States is trying to keep me from coming to Washington. So she asked the Holy Father, should I come to America? He told her, by all means. She came. Thank God. Following this unqualified condemnation of abortion, the Catechism exposes the hypocrisy of those who appeal to science or humanitarianism to kill the unborn. What are called embryos, says the Catechism, are no embryos. They are human beings. They must be treated like persons from the moment of conception and must be defended for their human dignity. They must be cared for and healed as far as humanly possible. Consequently, says the Catechism, the prenatal diagnosis, so common in our country, is morally permissible only if it respects the life and integrity of what is before God a human being. But prenatal diagnosis is gravely opposed to the law of God when it provides for the possibility of inducing an abortion. Says the Catechism, prenatal diagnosis must not be the equivalent of a death sentence. So too, I'm still quoting from the Catechism, medical interventions on what is called a human embryo is listed on one condition. Now, the medical intervention respects the life and the integrity of a real human being. Therefore, medical tests and medical services must be aimed only, I repeat, only at the healing of what is called the embryo, or recovering its health, or the survival of its human life. These forms of medical, dare we call it care, may not involve disproportionate risks. Otherwise, they are forbidden by the moral law. Furthermore, says the Catechism, it is immoral to produce human embryos as is done with the intention of using them for experimentation. This, we are told, is to treat human beings as disposable biological material. One more practice is to be, we are told, absolutely reprobated. Certain attempts to influence the chromosomes or genetic inheritance are not therapeutic, as some claim. They are aimed at producing human beings selected according to sex, or other predetermined qualities, says the Catechism. All these practices are criminal manipulations with human beings. They are contrary to the personal dignity of the human being and cannot be defended on any moral grounds. Euthanasia. In spite of its horrid-sounding name, euthanasia, which means happy death, is really the killing of a handicapped, sick, or dying person. It is therefore morally reprehensible, no matter how praiseworthy the motives that are alleged, and no matter what means are used. And coming from the one state which is the testing ground for euthanasia in our nation, Michigan, day after day, headlines in the daily papers promoting euthanasia. Why is euthanasia morally reprehensible? Because all human beings have a claim on our respect. Their lives are sacred. They belong to God. That's why human life is sacred. It belongs to God. Unlike any other living thing, each human being has his or human soul immediately, directly created by God. These things happen at the same time. The ovum is fertilized. God creates an immortal soul. God infuses that soul into the fertilized ovum. And that is human conception. Why then is human life sacred? Because except for the creative act of God, no human being would be conceived. Why is human life sacred? Because the purpose of human life is that human beings might glorify God in this world and glorify Him in eternity. Since human beings belong to God, He alone has the right to determine who is to be born, how long we are to live, and on what conditions we are to die. So far from being extinguished, the lives of sick or handicapped persons should be helped to live as long as God's will for them is to glorify Him before He calls them into eternity, unquote the Catechism. Consequently, we're told, and I quote a long passage, any action or omission, like the withdrawal of hydration, any action or omission, which in and of itself or in its intention causes death, in order to put an end to suffering, is murder. That should be memorized. It contradicts the dignity of the human person and respect for the living God, who is each person's creator. Errors in judgment, even in good faith, do not change this murderous act, which must always be prescribed and forbidden. Certainly, the Catechism adds, I quote, no one is obliged to continue medical procedures that are unnecessarily burdensome or dangerous or extraordinary or disproportionate to the hoped for results. Well, then hear it. In these cases, death is not intended. One's inability to prevent death is then merely accepted from the hands of God. But that, says the Catechism, is not the issue in euthanasia. Euthanasia, as practiced and legalized in so many countries, and unless God works a moral miracle be legalized in America is, and we believe this, it is murder. It is the intention to kill a human being, either as willful suicide or as voluntary homicide. I have one more area to cover. Respect for human persons. Unexpectedly, the Catechism of the Catholic Church condemns scandal as one of the main sources of murder in the modern world. Scandal, we are told, can be provoked by the law, by institutions, by fashion, and by public opinion. I quote once more from the Catechism. They are guilty of scandal who establish laws or structures leading to the decline of morals and the corruption of religious practice. They are guilty of scandal who promote behavior to the commandments of God so difficult as to be almost impossible to practice. It is also true of business leaders who make rules encouraging frauds, teachers who provoke their students to resentment, or manipulations of public opinion who cause people to abandon their moral values, unquote. Among the scandals in a country like ours is the grave sin of contraception. Had there been no contraception, there would be no abortion. Two commandments of God go together, the sixth and the fifth commandment. You do not break the sixth commandment without becoming open to breaking the fifth commandment. Unchastity leads to murder. Among those guilty of the scandal so strongly denounced by the Catechism, I would say near the top are our media of social communication. In the words of Marshall McLuhan, the Canadian philosopher of the media, I quote, "The modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth," unquote. You cannot sympathetically read our daily secular papers. You cannot watch television hour after hour, listen to the radio hour after hour, read our magazines without becoming hypnotized by the media. Most Americans do not think for themselves. They've been mesmerized by the media. All of this, the Catechism tells us, is the root cause of the crimes against human life because of the wanton scandals of those who are in command, in this case, of our means of social communication. I have a short, prayerful conclusion. Lord Jesus, we are living in the most homicidal century of human history. More deadly wars have been fought since 1900. More people have died in wars since 1900 than all the wars of human history from the dawn of the human race put together. More abortions have been committed since the legalization of abortion in our country than in all the previous centuries of the human race put together before 1973. The reason for this proliferation of crime is the abandonment of your laws, dear God, especially by those who have been and abandoned their Christian faith. We therefore beg you, dear Savior, to work the moral miracle of converting a selfish world to the selfless love of others. But, dear Jesus, only your grace can work this miracle, for which we beg on our knees from you, our merciful God. Amen. Thank you for listening to me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.